Welcome back to the Below Average Joe's MMA Show. On today's episode, we will recap UFC Vegas 88, which we saw a top 10 heavyweight battle headline in the main event spot. Marcin Tybura gets the victory over Tai Tuivasa. We will talk about what that means for each of their careers and the state of the heavyweight top 10, alongside the rest of the best performances from UFC Vegas 88. And to finish off the episode, we've got a fight announcement. Two, as a matter of fact, UFC 301 in Brazil has its main event, and it has the return of a legend. Marcin Tybura has now won 8 of his last 10 fights, and none bigger than the UFC Vegas 88 main event, where he submitted Tai Tuivasa 4 minutes and 8 seconds into the first round of their main event scrap. Let's discuss the heavyweight rankings, the state of the division, and the state of Bam Bam Tuivasa's career after having lost his 4th straight bout. So this fight went about as expected as you could see it going, regardless of which side of the coin you decided to favor in this fight.
What?
Tai Tuivasa sliced open Marcin Tybura very quickly into the very first round, was landing the more damaging, significant strikes in the beginning of the fight. But Marcin Tybura was able to get Tai Tuivasa down to the ground, and from there, it was all Tybura en route to getting that late first round finish, the submission that put Tai Tuivasa to sleep. He led into that with numerous huge ground and pound strikes that Tai Tuivasa just seemed to be eating for a breakfast, lunch, and dinner. He made it look easy, but they did play a factor. They did wear into Bam Bam. You could tell the more and more that they landed, the more and more he had to offer, the less he had to offer, I should say. Tybura capitalized on the obvious skill set discrepancies and got the job done on the mat, as many people had probably expected it to go should the fight go down to the floor. So this went about how I would have expected. Just like I said at the top, if Tai would have been able to defend the takedown, keep it on the feet, he was likely going to get Tybura out of there in round number one. But Tybura was able to get Tuivasa to the ground, and instead he finishes the fight in the first round. I knew it was going to end relatively quickly. It was just a matter of which guy was going to expose the other's weaknesses quicker. And as I said on Friday, during this winning stretch for Tybura, his only two losses were to Tom Aspinall last July. We saw what Tom went on to do after that. He went on to knock out Sergey Pavlovich and become the interim heavyweight champion. And he's even having face-offs with John Jones.
We're going to do this thing.
I would hope so.
I would love to, man.
I would hope so.
Respect, man.
All the best.
Respect.
And the other loss was in October of 2021 in a decision with Alexander Volkov. We've seen Volkov be a mainstay of the division's top 10 and even like top 6 for quite some time now. But he's back in the win column after that loss last July to Aspinall. He's won 3 of 4, 8 of 10. He's going to be number 9 at least coming in Tuesday morning, but maybe even a spot or two above. Let's take a look at the rankings and see what could be next for the heavyweight from Poland. In my mind, based off of the division and who's ranked ahead of him, I see two options that could be relatively good stylistic fights and fights that just make sense. The first would be running it back with the number 8 ranked polar bear, Sergey Spivak, a fight that would be a rematch from February 2020, where Tybura did get a decision victory. And the other option, one that I think is a bit more intriguing and has a little bit more at stake, would be a fresh matchup between Jailton Almeida. We saw Almeida lose at UFC 299 just 2 weeks ago now to Curtis Blaydes in the second round after dominating the first round. To be fair, he didn't do a ton in the first round, but he did have 9 takedowns. It was just a mauling of Curtis Blaydes for the first 5 minutes. Immediately into the second, he went in for takedown number 10. Curtis Blaydes stopped it and put a stop to his winning streak with the brutal elbows, as people like to call them, and got the knockout in the second round early on. Curtis Blaydes, I believe, is on to bigger and better things, including, in my opinion, what should be an undisputed title fight with Tom Aspinall while we await the return of John Jones and for him to what is assumed to be fighting Stipe Miocic. So who's available and who's fresh? Spivak and Almeida. Now, I know Almeida's coming off of a knockout loss, but they are on the same timeline if you want to look at. They had training camps where they just fought 1 week separate of one another. So I think that is a fight that makes more sense and intrigues me more. Otherwise, run back a rematch 4 years in the making with Spivak. And for Tai Tuivasa, this is a tough one. Four straight losses now. All four of them are by finish. To his credit, they are all against top 10 opponents or better. Ciryl Gane, Sergey Pavlovich, Alexander Volkov, and Marcin Tybura. However, that is also a negative, right? There's no such thing as good losses at the end of the day. That's what they say. And this here is at least proving that top 10 is the cap of this current version of Tai Tuivasa until proven otherwise. I think a fight that would be good for Tuivasa is to take on someone like Alexander Romanov, who is still in the rankings, sitting at number 13. But he has shown vulnerabilities. Yes, it seems that on paper he has that big discrepancy again of Romanov being able to just take Tuivasa down and grapple him. But we've seen that the Alexander Romanov of a few years ago that just looked like the next wave of heavyweight talent isn't quite the same in 2023, now 2024. I think that would make for a very intriguing matchup. It could be a bounce back spot for Tuivasa to get a win under his belt, but not necessarily an easy win. And for Romanov, he could maybe prove a few people wrong, say that he's still got something left to offer for this division, and get the biggest win of his career if we're talking name value. Four losses in a row is terrible. It sucks. It sucks, especially when they're all finishes. But Tai Tuivasa is not going to get cut from the UFC. He's one of the biggest draws that they have in the heavyweight division. He's one of the most beloved fighters in all of the UFC. He's still relatively young. Let's take a look. I think he's 31. Yeah, 31 years old, right in his prime years. Will he ever get back to where he's in a title eliminator like he was against Ciryl Gane in 2022? Maybe not, but it's not time to just throw in the white flag if you're Tai Tuivasa, or if you're the UFC, throw it in on Tai Tuivasa. I think he still has fun fights left to offer, and I think that there's still victories in the tank for Bam Bam. And now that we're done with the main event discussion, let's hop into the rest of UFC Vegas 88. We have some results to discuss and some nice performances, to be quite frank. Brian Battle versus Angelosa ended in a no contest 1 minute into the second round. Battle looked like the best version of him that we have ever seen, which is saying a lot because he was 5-1 in the UFC heading into this fight. But an eye poke to Losa caused him to lose vision. The fight gets waved off early in that second round. They get into a scuffle, if you will, in the aftermath of this fight. Brian Battle was very animated and very angry. They'll likely run that fight back, even though I don't really need to see it. I saw what I needed to see. Brian Battle looked amazing. I think he's fringe top 15 right now at 170 pounds. Easy. OSP at 40 years old turned back the clock and got a decision victory over Kennedy Inzichukwu, a fight that was a swinging and banging type of war at 205 pounds. OSP, man, are we forgetting this guy fought for an interim belt back in 2017, if I'm not mistaken, against John Jones? He really is a legend of the light heavyweight division at this point. The most fights at 205-pound history. The third most wins, I believe, in 205-pound history. So the guy's awesome. Former Tennessee football player. He's still got some fights left in the tank. He proved it, and he cashed some big tickets for anybody that was out there betting him as an underdog. Wish I would have. Christian Rodriguez and Isaac Dolgarian had a back-and-forth barn burner, and I don't mean that in the sense of Kennedy and OSP swinging and banging, but this was just a fight that made you exhausted just watching it. The scorecards were borderline horrendous, though. Here's the issue. Round number one, in my opinion, clear 10-8 round for Isaac Dolgarian. He mauled Christian Rodriguez for the first 5 minutes. Round number three, Dolgarian completely gassed, nothing left to give. Christian Rodriguez got an easy 10-8 round in round number three. Two 10-8 rounds, one for each guy. What happened in the second round? It was a lesser version of round number one. It was 4 minutes and 10 seconds, give or take, of control time for Dolgarian. A takedown or two mixed in between. None as impactful or as damaging as in the first round. Christian Rodriguez landed a few good shots, including one really good knee right up the middle that landed to the face of Dolgarian. But it felt like a very easy round to score for Isaac still. But two of the three judges scored that round for Christian Rodriguez. So do with that what you will. I didn't have a dog in this fight. I didn't have a bet on this fight. Thank goodness I didn't. That would have been a sweat and a half. I already had to sweat out, I think, two other split decision losses for my bet slip. So Christian Rodriguez, man, the story, and my hat's off to him. I'm not calling it like a fluke win or anything like that. Good on him for getting this victory. That's three straight wins where he has taken the perfect record away from his opponent. Raul Rosas Jr., Cameron Simon, who's about to fight this weekend against Peyton Talbot. That should be a really good fight, by the way. And now Isaac Dalgarian, who was 6-0 coming into this fight. You can't out-dog Christian Rodriguez. We had a stretch of three straight submissions after that fight. Macy Chasson got a big first-round submission over Pani Khiangzad, the second of her career versus Pani. The first one happened way back in the day on an Ultimate Fighter finale episode. Macy Chasson will now be number six minimum in the bantamweight division, one win away from title contention in a division that desperately needs new faces at the top. GM3 Gerald Meerschaert secured his 28th submission victory of his career. The fact that I could have bet Gerald Meerschaert to win via submission at plus odds is criminal. Criminal for me for not betting it. Stupid. I had two leans on this card that I wanted to do, ended up not doing. This was one of them. He submits Brian Bam Bam Barbarina in the second round of their fight. GM3, if he gets you to the ground, you're in trouble. And the return of Mike Davis was ultra impressive last night. His first fight since late 2022, he put on a clinic over Natan Levy and submitted him with an arm triangle early on in the second round. He's won four fights in a row. If he can just stay injury-free, put together a good, consistent year, maybe get two more fights in 2024, this guy's a legit problem at lightweight. Jafel Filho is a beast at 125 pounds. He made it look easy against Ode Osborne and submitted him at the 4:27 mark of the very first round. He is now 2-1 in the UFC, and he had a victory on the Contender Series in 2022. His only loss is to Muhammad Mohaev. He did get submitted there with 28 seconds left in their fight. Other than that, he's looked very, very good. Outside looking in at top 15 after beating Ode Osborne, more than likely, top 15 opponent is next for Filho. Jacquelina Moram got a huge victory over Corey McKenna of nasty armbar submission in the very first round. Mike Beltran, yelled stop when it looked like Corey McKenna had tapped. Then he told him to just keep going. Jacquelina Moram, kudos to her. She never let go of the submission until the ref pulled her off. So she never lost her positioning and instead just sunk it in deeper to a nasty armbar victory. This was my second lean of the night that I didn't bet that ended up winning. The lean that I actually chose to bet later on in the evening was Pani Khiangzad, and she lost. That's just the way it goes when you're betting on mixed martial arts. And lastly, Thiago Moises had a brutal leg kick finish against Mitch Ramirez. Tough debut if you're Ramirez. They threw him right into the deep waters. Thiago Moises at 28 years old has quite the resume, win or loss. He's been in there with a lot of the best guys on the outside looking in at lightweight and even in the rankings, such as Islam Makhachev. Just the current lightweight champion of the world. I very much look forward to see what Thiago Moises has left to offer. Top 15 opponent should definitely be next. And I think if he can put it all together as he enters those prime years, we're looking at a top 10 lightweight in the world. And now that we are done with UFC Vegas 88, let's get into the fight announcements. We've got two big ones to discuss for UFC 301 in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, going down May 4th. The main event is set. The flyweight championship of the world will be defended. Alexandre Pantoja gets his opponent, and it may not be who you think it was. Steve Urseg, the number 10 ranked flyweight in the world, debuted, I think, last June or July in the UFC. And in under one full year, he will be fighting for the chance to have gold wrapped around his waist. He's 3-0 in the organization, two top 15 victories. I saw a lot of people crapping on this fight, saying that it wasn't deserving, yada, 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 whoop-de-doo. I don't think it's that crazy, to be quite honest with you. Him and Muhammad Mohaev fought on the very same card. Steve Urseg had the more impactful win. He knocked out Matt Schnell. I'm a big believer in Muhammad Mohaev. He probably will hold the flyweight title one day. But you match in all of his injuries that he's been having, paired with maybe not as many great performances. And I think that's what led to the UFC going with Steve rather than Mokaev. And honestly, these two guys weren't even the number one contenders, if you ask me. I thought that Brandon Royval, being that he said he was ready to do it after upsetting Brandon Moreno in February, I thought they were going to run it back with him in Pantoja, the fight that we had just had seen in December. I wouldn't have been upset getting it again in May, but the UFC didn't choose that route. So Royval got passed over. Mokaev got passed over. Manel Kopp is scheduled to fight Matheus Nicolau after they had to have their fight fall through early on in the year. If Kopp would have beaten Matheus the initial date that it was scheduled, he was probably going to get this title fight. So all of these kind of wild moving pieces in this division going on. Steve Ursegg, the quiet guy from Australia, slides his name into the hat. But again, three fights in the UFC, three victories, one finish, two top 15 victories. One of them was a top 10. It's not that crazy. Believe it or not, we've had less deserving fighters get championship opportunities. I think it's actually a really interesting fight. Pantoja is as well-rounded as they come. He's hitting his stride right now. He's been beating everyone that this division throws at him. Fresh matchup here against the newcomer, 28 years old, if I'm not mistaken, for Steve Ursegg. He's 12-1. I think their styles clash very well. I think we're in for a treat in the main event of UFC 301. And the co-main event will feature the return of a legend. Jose Aldo is out of retirement, and he is taking on top 15 opponent Jonathan Martinez in the bantamweight division. The 2023 Hall of Fame inductee Jose Aldo last fall, August of 2022, in a losing effort to a Merab Dvalishvili. Prior to that, though, he had won three straight fights. Marlon Chito Vera, who just challenged for a title, Pedro Munoz, a top 15 fighter, and Rob Font, a top 10 fighter. So he's coming back now to take on Jonathan. This is a banger of a fight, if you ask me. If you want to look, Jonathan Martinez is currently sitting at number 14, a very underrated fighter, in my opinion. He's a very high-level, just technical fighter, and I think he's going to bring the best out of Jose Aldo. I'm not big on fighters coming out of retirement, but Jose Aldo, 37 years old, not quite over the hill, but not in his prime. I don't know for how long he plans to make this comeback, but the UFC's letting him come back, as they should. He's a legend. If he gets a win here, he's right back into the mix at 135 pounds. And for what it's worth, since not a lot of these fights have been huge announcements, there haven't been like standalone content on the channel of YouTube or like on social media, but Anthony Smith is fighting on this card against Vitor Petrino. Michelle Pereira is making a quick turnaround and fighting Mahmoud Muradov. And Paul Craig is taking on Caio Bahio as the main card opener. So it's not a wild knock your socks off pay-per-view, but it features a ton of Brazilian talent, lots of ranked fighters, relatively big names. It is what it is. When you have UFC 299 and UFC 300, you have to expect that there's going to be a couple pay-per-views that don't shock you to your core with the name and star potential. So adding Jose was a nice touch. Is it a great card? No. But
it is what it is.
So let me know your thoughts on UFC 301 as well. Be curious to see what you guys think about it. So that's it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. I hope you have a great Monday. I hope you have a great week. We'll get right back into it on Friday with UFC Vegas 89, Hibas versus Namajunas, and anything else that may come throughout the week. So follow the show on social media if you don't already at TheBAJMMA. Subscribe to the channel on YouTube and follow and rate this show on your favorite audio listening platform. It really helps the show grow. I appreciate any and all support, and I'll see you in the next episode.